One of the great psychiatrists of the 20th century, in fact, one of the two great psychiatrists, the two great psychiatrists of the 20th century are the one that's best known, of course, is Sigmund Freud. But the other one that is very well known, again, is Carl Jung, J-U-N-G. And Carl Jung, I was trying to find it on my iPhone, but I couldn't get hold of it. He has a quote that impressed me when I saw it. The quote says, and I can paraphrase it, he says, "A good percentage of my patients are people afflicted with a sense of emptiness and lack of direction and meaning in their lives." It's an interesting insight that Carl Jung had, because we don't realize that the central aspect of a human being is the ability to go through life with a sense of meaning and purpose. Another great psychiatrist earlier, about the same time actually, of Jung, said, and this is Viktor Frankl, who spent many years in a Nazi concentration camp, he said, "All human beings can handle anything as long as they know the why, the purpose for which it is happening." Human beings cannot live very long without meaning or purpose. And it is right that this be so, because God is meaning, purpose, reason. One of my favorite, in fact, I would say my top favorite part of the Bible is in the beginning of the Gospel of St. John. The Gospel of St. John begins with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then a few sentences, and he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." That word, "Word," in the beginning was the Word, is actually a translation of the word logos, L-O-G-O-S, in Greek. It's an interesting idea because it's a Greek philosophical concept. And logos does not have a direct translation into English. We translate it as word, but it would be understandable if I would, for example, to ask you, what is the word that is on what's going on at that, this or that organization? What's the word on what's going on at this or that place? Notice when I ask you, what's the word? I'm not asking you to give me a single word. I'm asking you to give me the background, the meaning, the reasoning, the purpose, all of that. And I can use the word to stand for all of that. Well, the word logos in Greek stands, my favorite three synonyms are meaning, purpose, and reason. And I always enjoy in my mind translating retranslating the Gospel of St. John using those three synonyms for the word, word. So it comes out this way. In the beginning, there was meaning, purpose, and reason. Meaning, purpose, and reason was with God. Meaning, purpose, and reason was God. Meaning, purpose, and reason became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, the reason I'm focusing in on that is because the first reading and the final reading from the Gospel really say something about that. Let me redirect your attention. This is from the book of Job. Now, listen to what Job is saying, and always remember that the Bible allows us to, the Holy Spirit allows us to see the question sometimes as well as the answer. Okay? So that in the Bible you may hear something that, you know, it'll be, you'll hear it read, and then the person will say, the word of the Lord, and you're going, huh? Because what the Holy Spirit does, He inspired people so that people would not only give a message from God, but sometimes so that you could hear what life is without God, so that you would know how, where God fits in. And this is what's happening in the book of Job. Job feels totally abandoned. He feels disconnected from God, from meaning, from purpose, from reason. And then he says this, "Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? Are not his days those of a hireling? He's a slave who longs for the shade, a hireling who waits for his wages. So I have been assigned months of misery, and troubled nights have been allotted to me. If I say, when shall I arise? Then the night drags on. I am filled with restlessness until dawn. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again." Now, I don't know, you know, how that sounds to you, but it's pretty darn depressing. It's pretty darn depressing. And right after I finish reading that, I'm supposed to say, the word of the Lord. Okay? But you have to understand how to interpret that. Because what God is doing in allowing the writer of the scripture is to let you see what it's like through the voice of another to live disconnected from God. And that's exactly what Carl Jung or Viktor Frankl were saying. That human beings cannot exist very long or very well at all without having a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose. Why? Because God is meaning. God is purpose. God is reason. And you were made in His image and likeness. And when you are not connected to meaning, purpose, and reason, you feel empty. That's what Carl Jung said. Most of my patients are like that. They don't have a psychological illness. They're disconnected from the reasoning from their lives. Now, I submit to you that that condition is very, very prevalent in our society. Very prevalent. And even much more today. Because our society is focused on pursuing happiness. It's always, to me, a very interesting thing to think about, that the Declaration of Independence says we hold these rights to be self-evident, and among them are life, liberty, and what's the third one? The pursuit of happiness. But think about this. The first two are total reflections of the gospel, of the meaning of life in God. But the third one is actually taken from a philosopher by the name of John Locke. The pursuit of happiness. And actually, that is not a Christian value. It is not at all a Christian value. Now, I'm not saying to you that God wants you to be unhappy, but I am also saying to you that the meaning of your life cannot be the pursuit of happiness. Because happiness cannot be pursued in and of itself. Happiness is a byproduct. And it is a byproduct of a right relationship with God and of doing what God is calling you to do. Be it a normal daily schedule of caring for your family, or my schedule of working as a Catholic priest, whatever your schedule is, whatever you have come to understand that that's what God wants you to do, however humble or critical it may be or uncritical, that if done with focus on God is the meaning of your life. But if you do it disconnected from God, nothing in life will fill you. If you do it connected with just trying to get happiness, the pursuit of happiness, you won't ever find happiness. Because happiness is the byproduct. What are you supposed to pursue? In one of the letters of St. Paul, St. Paul says, "You, O Christian, pursue righteousness." Pursue righteousness. Notice the difference. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is a right, a proper, and deep relationship with God. When you pursue righteousness, whatever that may mean in your life, then happiness comes. Because you know you are fulfilling your purpose. And then you are at peace, and then you are happy. But there's a very great difference. That's why a lot of times when you see people who have, for example, lots of money, or are famous, or stuff like that, how often, if they get stuck on that, and they think that, I have finally fulfilled, quote, the American dream, and I've got it all, and yet they find themselves empty because you cannot pursue happiness. You must pursue righteousness. Notice, even in the gospel today, Jesus in the gospel has been healing people. And he's becoming very popular. Very popular. And as he is becoming more popular, more people are looking for him. Everybody's excited. And Jesus could have become a rock star. Now he could have been just, look at all the people that are looking for me. So what does Jesus do? Early in the morning, before anybody knows where he's going, he leaves and he goes to the most secluded space. Why does he do that? Because he knows that the greatest temptation is to give in to popularity, to thinking that the meaning of your life is the applause of people. Because that is a temptation to substitute the gratitude and the esteem of people and to substitute that for the esteem of God. And so what does Jesus do? He goes off, and what is he doing? To reconnect with God in prayer. That's what he's doing. He's reconnecting. And then his disciples, they find him finally. And what do they say? Everybody's looking for you. Everybody's looking for you. And Jesus could have said, oh, my public wants to see me. But what does he say? No. Come on. Let's go. I have other towns that I have to go preach at. Notice, he rejects the invitation of popularity to reconnect with his purpose, with his meaning. That's what he's doing. He's reconnecting with his relationship with God. And that, folks, is the secret of happiness. It is not about money. It's not about popularity. It's about doing what God calls you to do, however humble it is, but doing it in the best of intentions that you know of God. That's why, and I'll say this in closing, that's why, do you know who the patron of the missions, the foreign missions of the church is, the patron saint? The patron saint of the foreign missions. You would expect that it would be some great foreign missionary, right? Nope. Saint Teresa, the little flower. The nun who died in her mid-20s and never left the convent. Why? Why did the church make her the patroness of foreign missions? Because Teresa was a novice and she had to do the lowliest tasks in the convent. But what she would do is she would, and it's famous, she would, for example, if she had to wash the floors, she would do each tile and she would offer her work as she prayed for people in the missions, for the missionaries. She constantly did the most menial task, but already connected to the meaning, the purpose, and the reason of God. That's why she's the patroness of foreign missions. And so I encourage you to be very careful in terms of living in our society. The commercials will tell you that happiness is to be found by the pursuit of happiness, and that the pursuit of happiness is an ever-increasing amount of possessions and an ever-increasing amount of popularity. It's a lie. That's why Satan is called the father of the lie. It's a lie. You may get everything you wished, you asked for, but nothing you really wanted. That's the big deception of the power of evil. You get everything you wanted, but nothing you really needed to be happy. And so take the example. Focus on what is God calling you to do. And I'm not saying anything weird or, you know, out of this world. Look at your daily life. Because the very first thing that God is calling you to do, first thing, is to fulfill the responsibilities that to some degree or other have fallen on you. And then do that. Do it with the most intense focus on doing it for Him as much as you can. If you're being called to something else, as you're doing what you're doing with the best of intentions, God will provide a way for you to follow the different path. But not going off on a wild goose chase thinking that you have to do something great. If you do little things, but you do them with great love, that's the whole point of being a disciple of Jesus. And that is the secret of happiness. Thanks for listening to me.